Time now for The Take
with Ethan Moore.
I faced four of them, like, last month.
Did you?
Oh, it was so filling and delicious.
The Take
with Ethan Moore.
I'm an Adidas guy, for sure.
And Biggest Biscuit, also known as Dave Skull.
Texture says I like to show off my pecs too, but for some reason people call them man on me.
Can you say that on air?
I don't know.
Say boobs.
Man boobs.
Okay, I'll drop that.
On ESPN 680 and 105.7.
How soon does school start so we don't have to listen to these mouth-breathing hacks? Oh, yes. Welcome into a Thursday edition of The Take. I'm Ethan Moore. He's Dave Skull. We're filling in for Sweeney and Strebel. Happy birthday, Andy.
Happy birthday, Andy Sweeney. What do you think? Do you think he's going to listen to the show today?
He might.
Or do you think he's just going to enjoy a couple of, you know,
cold
pale ales on
IPAs.
His porch, you know, and just shut out the world for a while?
With his Crocs.
With his Crocs on. I thought that was more of a Strebel thing. Is it an Andy thing?
No,
too?
Andy wears Crocs.
I love it.
No,
dude, I'm wearing slides right now. I don't care. You know,
it's all good.
I don't care.
Ultra Boost on my feet. You know, I know how I'm doing.
Yeah,
Three Stripe Life.
Yeah, you can't say anything. You've got just gorgeous, just drip on your feet right now. There's nothing you could say about that.
You're a gentleman.
Yeah, I'm very much a sandals whenever I can get away with it. And slides in a more professional, quote unquote, environment.
Yeah, we'll try to keep it professional to here. We got you guys until 6 o'clock. There is a bunch to get into, of course. If you've heard us before on these airwaves, you know that we're red and black. So it's going to be UofL ACC heavy with ACC kickoff going on today. We have sound and reaction from Coach Satterfield and the players as they made the rounds on ESPN Louisville. And
but it's
on the
also,
ACC Network.
I mean, the ACC media days are happening right now.
Exactly.
So, I mean, it would be heavy even if Sweeney was in here right now.
Exactly.
But there's some larger, big picture college football, college sports stories going on right now. You got to be living under a rock if you haven't heard in the last 24 hours. I mean, there's some serious implications across the board. Obviously, direct implications for Kentucky and possible some ripples.
Oh, yes.
Big ripples, waves, tidal waves even, that would affect the ACC and our beloved University of Louisville. So lots of big picture stuff to get to as well.
So let's start off with Coach Satterfield and the UofL players today at ACC kickoff. If you listen to the Dean of Shore this morning, we had Coach Satterfield on. He spoke with Drew and Mark at length about a variety of topics. And then today, if you're following throughout on social media or on the ACC network, Coach Satterfield was interviewed alongside C.J. Avery and Marshawn Ford, so they had a lot to say. Dave, your biggest takeaways from what Coach Satterfield said today in Charlotte, anything stand out to you, or is it more kind of like status quo?
I felt mostly status quo. One of the things that I grabbed onto, I mean, I don't know if everybody else did, but one of the things that I grabbed onto immediately was his glowing, and obviously he was sitting right there, but his glowing review of Marshawn Ford, because that was one of my big sticking points last year, was that I thought that Marshawn was the most underutilized piece of our offense. You know, we all know the criticisms with being too heavy, you know, too much, just it felt like the offense and Malik at times just centered in on and focused on
Tutu,
and we became one-dimensional to a degree and just easy to predict. Whereas I thought we had the weapons where we could have spread the ball around and Tutu would have been that much more effective, you know, if you use him as a decoy some of the time. But Marshawn was one of those guys that emerged 2 years ago in Satterfield's first season that I thought was going to take a huge step forward last year, and he kind of got lost in the mix. And he's somebody that I really expect to have an all-ACC-type season this year. I'm very high on Marshawn Ford.
Yeah.
And to hear Coach Satterfield basically say, look, he's going to be moving the sticks for us. He's going to be a guy that we depend upon, and he's going to score a lot of touchdowns. I love to hear that. That was what's – like, of all the stuff – he said a lot of stuff I liked, but that was what I kind of grabbed onto immediately. You're really enjoying it every time I say that.
I mean, you have the grin after you say it, too. I can't – I mean, you know, I'm trying to be I'll try to be a little bit more mature and professional, but, you know.
No, do not. Please do not. We're in – you know, we're sitting in for Andy and James. I don't feel like mature.
That's as tame as it's ever going to get here.
You really need to get buttoned up for that? Come on, man. Yeah, exactly. Let's do this.
Absolutely. Well,
this is local sports radio. We don't need to get buttoned up and informal.
Well, something I grabbed onto this morning was when he was talking about the offensive line, and he mentioned Brian Hudson specifically, and he said, now I don't know if he meant to, if this was just in passing, but he said he's a starter, and he can play multiple spots. Mentioned
Thank you.
Center.
That was the other thing that yeah.
He mentioned center, guard. Obviously, there's going to be a lot of moving pieces there. He also said that he feels like they have eight guys that they can really count on the offensive line. And let's be honest, the better the offensive line, the better Louisville's offense is going to be. So I think – I don't remember the percentages, Biscuit, that the staff was discussing in terms of Malik's completion percentage with a clean pocket, but I want to say it was 70-something percent. It was something like eye-popping impressive. Now
– he was second in the country, I remember, in a clean pocket completion percentage 2 years ago.
So
I don't remember what it was last year, but he was – second in the country 2 years ago, behind Joe Burrow in a completion percentage in a clean pocket, which I feel like is a very relevant stat when you talk about our team.
Yeah, absolutely.
But yeah, no, it's funny. Who would have, if you had put odds on which one of us would have highlighted the offensive line going into that initial discussion, which I think you feel like it would have probably been reversed.
Oh yeah, for sure.
But no, like obviously every time they start talking about offensive line, I just perk up and I start, you know what I mean,
yeah.
Getting a little excited. But Trevor Reed is a guy that I'm extremely excited about, and Brian Hudson as far as newcomers go. Mm-hmm. Obviously some of the freshmen, Gonzalez, they've been turning heads as well, but Trevor Reed was a JUCO transfer last year, a massive human being and just a freak athlete that a lot of people thought he would step in to the starting left tackle role, and it's just sometimes the transition from junior college, it's not that they don't eventually get there, but the jolt, you know, the difference in competition and acclimating to this level can be a bit much. And he had Adonis Boone, who had a head start on him, Renato Brown, who had a head start on him, and he just didn't really see the field much last year. I thought that he would emerge midseason, and it just never really happened, but I loved hearing that he had really come into his own during spring ball. Obviously, we didn't get to see a lot of it because it wasn't open like it normally, you know, we normally get a little bit more of a look at the team during spring ball.
A little taste.
A little taste, yeah, but we didn't get that this year, so I could take the coach's word for it that he really emerged enough so that he grabbed that left tackle spot, and Adonis Boone was moved inside, who was he started 15 games for us over the last 2 years. And he was pushed inside. When Brian Hudson announced his transfer initially, and I feel like that was probably a big factor in Robbie Bell opting out after initially opting back in for his sixth year. And then all of a sudden it was like, well, he left, and now he's a coach at Trinity, which is fine. But I think he saw kind of the writing on the wall a little bit maybe with Brian Hudson coming in, because he was an all-ACC freshman team performer at center at Virginia Tech. Last year it was a little touch-and-go with some staff changes, and I think that he kind of got lost in the shuffle a little bit. But he's a serious talent. He was a four-star in high school, and I thought he would be a shoe-in starter in one of those three interior positions, and it sounds like he definitely is with that. I don't know if it was a little slip of the tongue, but Satterfield kind of made it known today that Brian Hudson's stepping in. So you would expect probably Cole Bentley, Brian Hudson, maybe Adonis Boone, Caleb Chandler.
Trevor Reed, like you mentioned.
Yeah, well, them competing for the other guard spot, I would expect. And maybe Brian Hudson starting at center and those two starting at guard.
Yeah, and so, but that's something that we've lacked the last 2 years under Coach Satterfield, quality depth in the offensive line. And also, too, another position group that I've heard rave reviews about from the players and coaches alike is the defensive line. And for me, that is the biggest question mark of any position group with this football team is that front three, the front seven. Can you get consistent pressure on the quarterback?
Right.
Can you generate turnovers? We haven't been able to do that as much over the last 2 years. They got a little better after that Notre Dame game on, but they have to be markedly improved upon that.
Yeah, absolutely. And that's actually the trenches on both sides of the ball is where we've been struggling with our peer schools in the ACC and also with I was trying to do that earlier too. I have a couple of cans in front of me as well that I need to pop under the table.
Nice.
Did you hear
it? Might just do it right here.
Just pop some cans. Got it. Sexy.
sexy, yeah. With our peer ACC teams as well as Kentucky. I mean, let's just be honest. That's where they've lapped us in recent years. I'm extremely excited. I think this is the best offensive line group Satterfield has had. Obviously, it's just year three, but the depth. I feel good about 8 or 9 guys right now. Last year, you saw Adonis Boone and Renato Brown struggle at times, and we just didn't have anybody really pushing them that we could go to late in the season, so we were kind of stuck where we were. On the defensive line, the lack of pressure absolutely killed us in the first season and half of last year, and it felt like a light kind of switched on at some point. We started getting more interior pressure. C.J. Avery coming back to the linebacker position is massive. Yep. I can't wait to see what Yaya Diaby does this year.
Let's get him healthy.
Those young defensive tackles in the interior, those are the ones that I'm very much excited to see and see who actually steps up, grabs that spot. I think we're going to have 6 or 7 guys that get significant playing time, you know, maybe 8. And that's what you need to apply consistent pressure. You need serious depth on defense. Like, people don't realize, like, there's constant substitutions. Mm-hmm. You don't see defensive tackles, nose tackles playing 90% of the snaps. It just doesn't happen.
Yeah. And how many times did you see in the first 2 years where they would try to rush the quarterback and it was almost like backyard football for the opposing team? It was like, you know,
1-1000.
Yep. 2-1000. Exactly.
3-1000. 4-1000.
Then it seemed like every third down would be converted or the quarterback would break, contain, scramble for the first down. It was just the inability to get the opposition off the field on third and long was a huge bugaboo for this defense. But that's the first position group, when asked, in my experience of the coaching staff, still what we're seeing today, ACC kickoff in the preseason, is the defensive line. If our lines show a massive step forward, then the sky's the limit for this team. And it's going to look a lot more like Satterfield year one as opposed to last season.
Absolutely. Those are the position groups as far as last year to this year goes that we have to see market improvement, and I feel good about both of them.
Mm-hmm.
Biggest questions coming out of last season, and I feel like we've got decent answers to them. Mm-hmm. Obviously, the pressure works hand in hand with coverage, you know, and we feel great about our corners group. Obviously, we have an all ACC type performer with Ketrell Clark, but you can only do so much as a cover corner.
Sure,
if you're not getting pressure on the quarterback,
mm-hmm.
It's one of those things where I said about a month ago, looking at our football and basketball team, and we're focusing on football. I said I had less of a real feel for what these teams are going to look like record-wise and projection-wise than I have with any teams in a long time, because I feel really good about certain aspects of these teams, but also feel like there are big question marks, more so with the overall direction of the program. But there's a lot of individual components that make me feel good about this football team. Like, I think we're both higher on Malik Cunningham than a lot of the fan bases. I think the coaching staff is a lot higher on Malik Cunningham than the fan bases. I think that the national media is definitely higher on Malik Cunningham than the fan bases. I feel like everybody except for the fan base is higher on Malik Cunningham. And I think that that's where he's going to end up this year, mostly owing to, you know, last year was kind of an off season regardless, but owing to the improvement from the offensive line and just the refocusing, you know, and I love the direction we've got with Malik Cunningham, like where the offensive line is.
Yeah.
I think there's serious potential with this team.
And we spoke to quarterbacks coach Pete Thomas on LSL last week, and he mentioned, again, simplifying at times the play calling, using your running backs out in the flat, checking down. He's like, it's never an issue when your quarterback can check down and keep the sticks moving. And last year, we didn't see that. Despite all of the time that the offensive line was overwhelmed, where is the check down? Where are you trying to find the running back in space to try to make a play to move the chains? We didn't see that, and I think simplifying the offense at times, especially early on, when you have to replace a lot of production lost. That's going to be key, making the simple play, not trying to force it. You cut down on those turnovers. You know, we love Cunningham, but he was responsible for 15. 12,
absolutely.
12 picks, three fumbles. Now, you could certainly make the argument.
It was confusing, too, because, you know, coming off the year before, he was
five picks.
And he was really, really good with the football. Mm-hmm. That was one of his biggest assets, and one of the reasons why he was so efficient is because he took care of the football. It seemed like a different person at times last year.
Yeah. And right now, he's speaking to Wes Durham and Kelsey Riggs on the ACC Network. Yeah, you want to let's take it real quick. See what he has to say.
Around where they come from, it means a lot to those players, and it means a lot to me and the coaches.
All right, so Malik, if I were to ask you what wrinkles have evolved in the offense, we all know Tutu was a playmaker. We know Javian was a playmaker. But yet, the offense is still the offense. So what's new about it? What are we going to see this year as a result of those guys departing and new guys like Mitchell being involved and mm-hmm. and the other guys you can get the ball to on the perimeter?
Well, I'm not going to lie. Y'all probably won't believe me when I say this, but you're going to see a lot more speed this year on the outside especially and in the backfield. It's just good to have those weapons. We have a lot of new faces. A lot of guys that y'all aren't familiar with, but I'm very familiar with those guys, and I can't wait for them guys to show to the world what they have to bring to the table.
We're going
to
run that back one more time. You said more speed
more
even
speed,
than we saw last year.
Yeah.
Man, I'm excited to see that.
But Malik, Tutu Atwell and Javian Hawkins are gone. Did you go get Usain Bolt out of
right?
the portal or something?
Not going to lie, he up there with Usain Bolt.
All right, so who are we looking for?
Tyler Harrell, receiver.
Okay.
Yeah,
okay.
That's world-class speed right there.
And we had a little while to talk before we came on camera. We were just chatting about spring and kind of what you've seen and learned. And I said, who are you excited about? And you said my wide receivers. I mean,
yeah.
Take me through what you've seen from them and how confident you are in this offense.
All those guys are hungry. A lot of those guys I came in with. So at freshman year, we all redshirted. And I was able enough to play the last 2 years. And some of those guys sat back and just learned from Dez and a lot of those guys. And just being able to take in what they took in, and being able to show the world what they're capable of, and that group is just hungry and humble, and I can't wait to see those guys work. They've been putting in a lot of work this offseason.
All right, I want to get to a couple different things. One being the offensive line, but we run a graphic up here: 12-2 when scoring at least 28 points since 2019. Also leads us to another stat about Louisville from last year to 2019, and that's scoring differential, Malik. You guys are as good as anybody in the country in terms of the way you jump from 1 year to the next.
Yeah.
How did it not happen collaboratively? Why? You know, you look, it's a stat you look at and you almost go, no, wait a second. The record had to be better.
Yeah. I've been talking about all day. I mean, the turnovers was a big key to that. Turnovers not something you can work on. It's more of a mental standpoint from a quarterback. And I've just been in the film room with those guys just learning the ins and outs and just knowing where they're going to be at, because I need those guys just like they need me. And turnovers is something that we've been harping on this year.
All right, here's the second part of this equation, though. We talk about Atwell and Hawk being gone, both playing in the league, by the way.
Mm-hmm.
Marshawn Ford's back at tight end. I look at a scenario, too, where I see Caleb Chandler, Cole Bentley, Adonis Boone, Renato Brown. You got your law firm back in front.
Yeah, I got all the big boys back.
Yeah?
So that's always good. I mean, the head of the operation starts with them. Without the O-line, none of this is, I'm not even here today without the O-line. So I try to give praise to those guys as much as I can, because they deserve it. I wish they could be here with me. They'd be up here right over here with me. But without those guys, nothing works. So we need those guys.
Malik, I want to go back to what Wes said just a second ago when he was talking about the point differential, because we heard Coach Satterfield talk about it as well. You know, in his first year there, you guys won some really close games. And then last year, four of your losses came by 7 points or fewer, four mm-hmm. of them. How important is it to find a way to get back to that and to make sure that, hey, when we're in a close game, we know what we need to do to win and we have the playmakers to do it?
This just goes to what Coach has been preaching the whole summer, is finishing. We got to finish those games, and goes down to the fourth quarter. You look at the fourth quarter, we're losing in the fourth quarter. We'll be winning all the way up into the fourth quarter, and that's all that matters is how you start and how you finish.
Sure.
And we started a lot of those games fast and efficient. We just didn't finish, so that's what we've been harping on the whole summer, just find a way to finish and find a way to end games the right way.
You know, we spent a lot of time in these 2 days talking to quarterbacks.
Yeah.
And it's all been really good conversation, but it's also had differentials to it, right?
Mm-hmm.
you and Brennan Armstrong are probably two of the guys that put together the mobility package. Other guys work on the mobility, but you guys present real threats in the run game. And I think DJ will, Uiagalelei at Clemson, especially at his size and the power he can run with. How do you get ready in the offseason, Malik? I mean, I know you want to work on throwing the ball. Yeah. You want to get all that stuff down. But there's got to be some focus on your ability to make plays with your feet too, right?
Oh, well, honestly, I came out of the womb running. And so running kind of comes kind of natural. There's just some things you just stay strong and stay healthy, get bigger and faster. But I've been working on the passing side of the game and just getting the connection down with the receivers. And it's been going pretty good.
So when you watch tape, how does that work? What are you watching to get better as a passer?
As a passer, watching the defensive tendencies. Like right now, we're breaking down Ole Miss, just finding out different coverages they run and what they like to do on the early downs and the late downs, when they bring pressure and where's it coming from on the field, things like that, the different type of coverages they run and third and long and just dissecting all the different types of plays that they run.
Let's talk a little bit more about that game, because that is going to be the fifth straight ACC game of the season. We've got a Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday, and then you guys taking on them in Atlanta. What an opportunity for y'all to really set the pace there early in the season.
Oh, yeah, it's primetime game, the only game on Labor Day.
Sure.
It's a really good team, very well coached. They got good players on both sides of the ball. They try to put teams in the shootout. And so we're going to – the team that makes the least mistakes and capitalize on the other team's mistakes is going to win the game. So we're going to try to limit those mistakes and try to create turnovers so we can have a party in the locker room after that.
All right. Now, it sounds like you want to get into the shootout.
I mean, we'll have a problem with that. I mean, we score a lot of points as well, so they're going to have to stop us and we're going to stop them.
Well, that's kind of the way the thing's being built. You know that, right?
Yeah, I
mean, that it's like – guns a-blazing, both sides.
Now, we got a lot of clips, too.
But I think you've got the ability to score in a variety of different ways. They seem to do it. You guys do it with tempo, versatility. They just want to fling it.
Yeah, they got a good running game as well. Sure. The running back is pretty good. And like you said, they do like to throw it around a lot. So, we just got to capitalize off each other's mistakes. And the team made the field's mistakes is going to win.
Malik, tell us what you've seen from the defense so far. Because as you guys continue to get more into this system and get to know it, what have you seen from those guys at practice that you've really liked?
Oh, man, it's like night and day. I love watching our defense, even when I'm out there and when I'm not out there. Led by CJ. And right next to him is Munchie Montgomery, a guy who brings a lot to the table, a lot of energy.
Yep.
A guy who never leaves the stadium. And those guys feed off that. And we got Kendrick Duncan and Keytrell and CJ on the back end. And those guys have a lot of experience. Duncan played a lot of football, transferred to Georgia Southern. And Keytrell and CJ, best two cornerbacks in the country, in my opinion, and definitely in the ACC. Mm-hmm. So looking forward to that. And we got a lot of depth on D-line as well.
All right, I want to ask you about Abdullah. Because Yasir was a hitter last year.
Oh, yeah.
He was a menace in the secondary.
Yes, sir.
That guy, you got to find out where 22 is on every snap, even in practice.
Yeah. It's crazy because back in the spring, I was like going towards the last practice. It's probably one pick that I wasn't like, I was like, that's just a great play by him. It was in the spring, and we're running like a little screen to the right, and he was spying me, but I couldn't see him. Like, he was like down low. And they say, you know, I threw it, tried to check it down to the running back. And out of nowhere, he jumped up and picked it. And I was like, yeah, that guy's going to be special.
You're like, okay, I see it. I feel it there.
Yeah. Like, that was crazy. I've never seen nothing like that.
All right, stay healthy. It's always fun to visit with you.
Yes,
thanks for the time.
Thanks for the time, Malik.
You bet. Malik Cunningham, Bessemer, Alabama.
And that was a little live look in there for ACC kickoff with Malik Cunningham. Speaking with Kelsey Riggs and Wes Durham of the ACC Network. And, again, along the lines of what we were talking about, the offensive line's better, cutting down on turnovers. We're just talking about how the statistics don't even out to a 4-7 record.
Just look every time they have a graphic, you just look at it and go, what, how? How? Yeah. And, like, maybe we're – and I've said this a few times this offseason, maybe we're overanalyzing this. Like, yeah, there were things I didn't like about the predictability of the offense. I thought that the tempo of the game was off a lot. We ran on second and long. Like, Scott Satterfield loves running on second and 11. I don't know why. You know? Literally more than any pro or college football team in America. Maybe there's a high school football team out there that did it more than us. But that's the true statistic. But you look at we had the fourth-ranked offense in the league, and we allowed the fourth fewest yards in the league last year, and we went 4-7.
Yeah.
That doesn't make any sense. You know why? because you get to the turnover line and we were minus 12 in turnover differential. Maybe we are just overanalyzing this and it was as simple as turnovers. And that's basically what David Hale's been saying all offseason. Saying that, look, you can say what you want about this, say what you want about this, but at the end of the day, turnovers are the stat that changes most from year to year. It's the most volatile stat. And essentially, if you have a large turnover differential 1 year, you tend to not have that big of a turnover. Like, you know, it's you're going to have more of a even or maybe a plus the next year. You look at our record at 4-7, he's saying, look, that was more like a 7 or 8 win team.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they lost four one-score games. The Georgia Tech game turned completely on turnovers, even though we lost by multiple scores.
20-0 outscored in the fourth quarter.
It was 24-10 mid-second quarter, right, Louisville? I think that's right.
21-7 at one point as well.
And Louisville's on the verge of blowing that game open, turn the ball over, Georgia Tech scores, keeps them in the game, turn the ball over 3 more times, and Georgia Tech just keeps pouring it on. All of a sudden, it looks like they've blown us out.
Mm-hmm.
Because of turnovers, period.
Yeah.
And that's just, I mean, those, they're such killers. They're drive killers. They're momentum killers. It's just, turnovers are everything to that team last year. You look at our turnover differential, and we're more like an even last year, or even like a minus 2 or 3, and I bet we're a 7-win team.
Yeah. Yeah.
Like that's, it's one of those years that I feel like we can say whatever we want about it, but it probably boils down to one statistic.
It really does.
So, and it's the most volatile, the one most likely to change from year to year. Yeah. So,
four losses by 7 points or less. Mm-hmm. You flip the script in year one under Satterfield. Louisville won those games. That shootout against Wake Forest, 62-59. That was a one-score game. And you had multiple others. Boston College at home, 41-39. You have those types of games where the ball bounced in Louisville's favor that year. This past season, it didn't. I'm always the guy that looks at the numbers, uses the law of averages. The law of averages says it's going to even out. It's not going to be too drastic that'll help Louisville, and it won't be drastic enough to hurt them. It'll be in the middle. I think it's all going to even out as far as the turnovers are going. Louisville should not be minus 12, I don't think. No. And you cut down. Say you're still in the minus category,
right? Like you don't even have to flip it.
Four. Exactly.
You don't have to flip it. It doesn't have to be a plus 5 or 6. If you just have a reasonable number, that's like minus 2, minus 3.
Mm-hmm.
9 less turnovers is an amazing, like it's over a stretch of 4 or 5 games is a huge deal.
Yeah. As a betting man, I'm betting the over at Louisville's 6.5, and we can get into that on down the road. But I think right now my projection is that once the ACC standings, or the preseason standings are announced, I think Louisville's going to be 5th. It might even be 6th, but I also am very confident in saying I believe that Louisville will finish much higher than 5th or 6th.
Are you saying in the division?
In the Atlantic.
Yeah, okay. Uh-huh. All right.
No, nationally. What are you?
And I want to hit on another thing real quick before we go to break, just because it's relevant to what Malik was talking about in the interview and everything. The other side of the coin, because I keep talking about how there are concerns. And one of the big ones for me is when you lose high-profile guys, like we lost Lamar, we're going to replace him with Juwan. A lot of people were, you know, I was to a degree, but a lot of people started running with the narrative like the offense is going to look more smooth, better. Mm-hmm. It's going to be more of a classic.
That was the worst take I've ever heard in my life.
It became the – yes, it was always the worst take. But this year we're losing two receivers who are both, I think, going to be successful NFL receivers. I think they're going to be in the league for a while.
I would agree.
And a lot of people think we're going to improve on offense. I think we could possibly, but I always want people to pump the brakes and make sure we're not getting caught up in the hype or wanting things to be true or getting caught up in the moment. Like Malik's getting caught up in the now and saying that obviously he sees it first person, but he's saying we're even faster on the outside.
Yeah.
You know, Tyler Harrell.
That's another name you've heard nonstop in this offseason.
Nonstop. Right. He ran a coach's watch 4.2. We don't know what that is. Actually, but
it's fast.
Obviously, they're seeing him on the field, and he looks fast in pads, too. So it's one of those things where I just want people to pump the brakes, but also
embrace the excitement.
Embrace expectations. Embrace the excitement, but also whenever you catch yourself saying, we lost two NFL receivers, but we're going to be better. Like, you have to kind of pull it back a little bit.
And an all-conference running back.
Exactly, and Javian Hawkins. But the counter to that for me is right, but I feel like the offensive line is going to be just leaps and bounds better.
Sure, yeah.
Which makes everybody better, you know, and makes Malik better, more importantly. So, I don't know. Like this, that's why I've said all offseason this has been the hardest football team for me to put my finger on, you know, the pulse on. And I feel myself getting more and more excited about it, and I'm excited about football anyway.
Sure.
But like I feel myself getting more and more positive about the team, and I don't know if this is a good thing, if I'm going to get hurt again, Ethan. I don't know.
No.
Do I need to protect myself?
No. No,
do I need
to
not put myself out there, Ethan, or
put yourself
here?
Out there.
You can put yourself out there. You can put yourself out there about being bowl eligible and having a solid 7-5 year. I mean, I could see 8-4. I'm not going any higher than that. But I think my official projection would be 7-5. I think that is a reasonable expectation. I think if you look at the schedule, you look at how confident the staff is on the defensive side of the ball, and I think that will allow for those new guys on offense at those positions at running back and receiver to kind of get acclimated to ACC football, and then they can kind of work their way in throughout the season.
Yeah.
I don't think they're going to – I think it would be unreasonable to expect, you know, Jalen Mitchell to play like Javion Hawkins and put up those type of numbers. Like
he's not that type of running back, but he might be more of a bell cow every down back.
Absolutely.
I mean, that kid is solid.
And we talk about
saw
depth.
Some of that at the end of last year. Yeah.
You talk about depth. I think the running back position group has a lot of depth as well. I mean, remember the four star
what Travion Cooley is going to do is his rookie year, but his freshman year. But I'm super excited about the potential on defense as well. You know, I think that the front seven is going to be solid, and I really like what we have in the defensive backfield. I think they'll be more consistent from day one instead of having to play into shape like they did last year. We all know, and you don't want to hammer the C word too often, culture. We talk about it a lot, but coaching staffs like Satterfield that lean into that hard. When you can't hang around, and Malik talked about this today. I think Marshawn, like all the players talked about it today with Drew. Mm-hmm. When you aren't able to be around the facility, when you're not able to be around your teammates, and I realize everybody dealt with that coast to coast, you know. But when you're not able to be around that culture all the time and build that brotherhood and have that comfort level. It's difficult. It's difficult on a team. I can't imagine being on a team, a college football team, and not being able to be in the locker room and outside the locker room with your teammates all the time. Because normally you're at the facility constantly.
Oh, yeah.
And you do everything outside of the football team together all the time. So it's just the challenges last year were a lot, and obviously they were the same for everybody. But interested to see how it goes this year.
Absolutely. I'm Ethan Moore. He's Dave Skull. We're filling in for Sweeney and Strebel on The Take right here on ESPN 680 1057. It's time for a break. When we come back, we'll get to some of your text.
And hot dogs.
We're gonna get to that as well. Hopefully, Nick and Jack, I don't know if they're going to be within earshot, but yeah. It's going to be a little.
I got fire for them. Yeah. I'm so tired of them.
And then also, we got to get you up to date on the latest Texas, Oklahoma to the SEC chatter. There's a lot more moving behind the scenes. We're going to get you all caught up on that and more and tell you how it's going to impact the other conferences as well. When we return, quick break. When we come back, more of The Take right here on ESPN 680 and 105.7.
You're listening to The Take
with Ethan Moore.
A murderer murdering somebody and then literally bringing the body into the police station and saying, here,
it's like Aaron Rodgers.
I did it.
Aaron Rodriguez almost.
Yeah.
I mean, how dumb he was after he murdered those people.
I know.
And Biggest Biscuit, also known as Dave Skull.
Aaron Hernandez, that's where you were going with, right?
Yeah, Aaron Hernandez.
I knew where you were going.
No, A-Rod's in Miami with J-Lo.
On ESPN 680 and 105.7.
We Welcome back into The Take right here on ESPN 680, 105.7. Ethan Moore, Dave Skull here with you talking some nonsense. Some ACC kickoff.
We're about to get into some, yeah, we kind of went heavy into sports in the first segment.
When do you want to
plunged right in, you know?
When do you want to bring up...
Talking offensive line depth in the first segment. That's what you get.
That's right.
You know.
Do you want to... When do we want to delve into the hot dog?
I kind of want to hit it just because it's boiling right now. And I
feel like I need to turn your mic off after that. That was terrible.
What was?
It's boiling.
No, it's boiling inside of me.
Like a hot dog.
Like a hot dog.
I hate you.
No, I don't boil my hot dogs. So I don't think about them that way.
There you go. All right, let's talk about it. I think Nick and Jack I'm biased, were my top two. If I'm setting the odds for this thing yesterday, they were my top two.
Really? They were your top two?
In terms of the odds, yeah. I mean, I thought, Nick won, right? But then there was in controversy,
there was
so
a lot
he
of
finished second.
The guy that, quote-unquote, won
didn't eat the
buns.
Which is like rule number one for hot dog eating contest outside of eat the hot dogs.
And the video is a little disturbing because he's like eating the hot dog and leaving the bun. It's all very it's very very disturbing to me.
I thought he was going to defend his title.
He did not. But and they all got beat by the way, why is there a fan participant in the media hot dog eating contest?
I don't know. Maybe he ran on the field, was hungry.
Right. Well, this
evidently
is my
he was.
So was it 5 minutes? Is that right?
5 minutes.
Okay. So young Jack Grossman, who might get demoted back to intern Korean after that performance.
Yeah, he's intern Korean after that.
Was that a performance?
It was something. And Nikki V, Nicholas Valvano.
Who will just get back demoted to pink slip breadline guy.
Nikki the Boot.
Hey.
Jack eats 4 hot dogs in 5 minutes, and Nick eats 6.
Now, Jack only had 4?
I know!
4!
I know!
4!
I know!
That's dinner! 4. Like, that's not competitive eating. I yelled a little bit
about
the end of the V show, but this, all they did was step up to the plate, literally on the field.
Get the bat on their shoulder.
A plate of hot dogs. They didn't eat competitively. They didn't race with anybody. Jack couldn't have possibly pushed his body any less. He just casually ate 4 hot dogs in 5 minutes. That's a meal.
I could put away 4 hot dogs in 5 minutes.
Yes, you could. Easily. Everybody here could if they wanted to without even feeling sick, probably. You would feel full, maybe, but you're not going to feel sick.
Not in 5 minutes.
There's no way Jack Grossman was anywhere close to pushing himself. Like, he tried to, and I kind of wish, like, I love that you're here, Process, but I kind of wish Jack was here today to defend himself. Just so I could hear what pathetic excuse he has.
We can give it to him tomorrow.
Give it to him tomorrow. But 4 hot dogs in 5 minutes in a competitive, quote-unquote competitive atmosphere.
Quote-unquote competitive.
I mean, did he have like an appetizer? Did he have a salad to go with that? I mean.
Right.
No, he ate a stick of bread.
Did he have spicy mustard? Just kind of do like a slow. Did he have a bag of chips?
No, he had a stick of bread when he was here from Double J's next door.
Why?
I don't know. It was like an 18-inch stick of bread. And he ate the whole 18 inches all
you
the way down to the nub.
Eat bread to expand. What? I remember, you remember True Life on MTV?
Yeah.
They had True Life, I'm a Competitive Eater.
Mm-hmm.
And one, actually, a guy that my friends were buddies with, was it Eater X that was in Lexington? It was one of those guys that was in Lexington. And they followed him around. What they do is they eat like giant bags of salad to expand their, and not like salad with, like lettuce, just mixed greens.
This
That's what
sense.
They eat. Giant bags of that to expand their stomach. Jack went and got a loaf of bread.
Yes.
And when did he eat this?
About midday. I want to say 1 o'clock.
So you're going to make yourself even more full.
Exactly. And he had he didn't push himself. Haley Minogue from, I think, is it WHAS?
Mm-hmm.
Sure.
Yes, she's a delightful follow. Seems like a really nice person. She ate 5. She's like, she has to be less than Jack's, like half of Jack's size. Like,
so,
she ate
easily.
5, and I realized that size and everything, like Sonia, what's her name, the Black Widow, the
Sonia Thomas,
eater,
yes.
She's like 85 pounds.
Yes.
She's tiny, and she eats, you know, 45 hot dogs when they do Nathan's Famous. But
gosh,
she beat Jack. Everybody beat. Like, did Jack finish last?
I don't know if he finished last, but he finished among the bottom, obviously. Look, Dave, here's the thing.
That's
I think
illegal.
Next year,
they're both
me
upsetting.
And you, or you and I,
oh, no.
should do the hot dog contest to represent the station.
See, here's the thing, Process. Like, I am 100% confident that even right now I could eat, if I so choose, I could have beaten everybody at that contest.
Right.
I have no doubt. If I go over like 3 hot dogs, my pancreas will fly out of my body. Like
sad.
It's we're at the point
so
where
it's not yet.
It will revolt. It will pack its stuff and leave.
We don't want that.
There's absolutely no way that I can, in good conscience, eat that much tubed meat.
Okay, let me ask you this.
I'm not going to do it.
Do you think
I would die?
I could put away 10 hot dogs in 5 minutes.
I don't know, Process, because you talk a lot.
You're young.
I love
he
you.
Could do that.
I love you, but there's a lot of like, you guys, I could do better than you, but I'm never going to get tested.
Do you think I could put away 5?
Yes, in 5 minutes?
Yeah.
And oh, I want to, yeah. and I want, yes, you could, let Dude. Me put it this way. I believe with your competitive spirit that if I put you out there right now and gave you 5 minutes with whatever size hot dogs those were, I'm sure they didn't give them giant hot dogs, they're
right?
Normal size, you would eat 7.
I believe that.
I don't know how many. Like, I don't know if you could win, but I guarantee you could eat 7.
On
you
dollar dog,
Nikki's
I'd have
numbers.
Put away 5 easily.
Like knowing where and what Nikki's milestone is right now from last night and how pathetic Jack was, I guarantee just for bragging rights, you would eat 7.
I could buy that. Yeah, I'd say 7's a reasonable number.
Yeah.
And I was really hyping up Jack.
Maybe you eat more, but you definitely could eat 7.
Yeah. I mean, I was really hyping Jack up. I was like, dude, he's going to take this thing.
I'm very disappointed. Like, I
had no
I
idea
thought,
it was 4. I saw 6 on Twitter.
Oh, no. Nikki had 6. Jack had 4.
That's ridiculous.
And like, I agree that I thought they would do better than that.
Yeah.
I thought they wouldn't be amongst the worst.
Let's get some of these texts rolling in.
Casually here. Ate a meal in front of thousands of fans.
Yeah. That was a meal.
That's what they did. Casually
yeah.
ate a meal.
Yeah. I wondered if, like, you know, did he have
Jack was going to have 4 hot dogs last night anyway.
Did he have a glass of wine before, like during?
No, he's a sex on the beach kind of guy. He doesn't drink wine or beer. He likes the
the double deuce truly.
The Smirnoffs, yeah. You know, that kind of stuff.
Yeah. Anyway, yeah.
The UPS jobs text line. You got a bunch of texts rolling in
so
here.
So upsetting.
437-9680. Let's see. The texter says, where is the bleeping take? There's only one way to start a show, texter says, and you know what it is. Unless those are Costco hot dogs, no excuse.
Yeah, Costco hot dogs are difficult to eat.
They're large.
Yeah, it puts my jaw out of place.
Happy birthday, Andy. Nick and Jack are a disgrace.
Thank you.
Texter says, at 2:49, Nick said they lasted long enough for the first guy. I guess you can mark that.
All right, we'll mark that.
Mark that for Jack.
Reed Detmers just got called up to AAA Salt Lake City.
Yeah, Uncle Larry DM'd me that. He said that because
nice.
He's trying to go down to – he was going down to watch the Trash Pandas.
Yeah,
Rock City Trash Pandas. That's where Reed Detmers was. And he got called up like the day before he was going to work.
Yeah, Salt Lake City's not nearly as much fun.
Nah.
Texter said bad teams make bad turnovers.
Yeah, sure.
Louisville wasn't a very good team last year. They
I
were
don't
a little
argue
bit better.
With that.
Yeah.
No. I mean, turnovers were far from the only issue last year. We went through a couple of them. I mean, they stemmed a lot from the offensive mm-hmm. line play. But when you look at the raw numbers, which don't tell the whole story, the one that stands out is turnovers.
Yeah.
And it really tells really most of the story of last season, why they went 4-7.
Is this LSL or the take? Bad teams find ways to lose, and we can't excuse it. I mean,
I don't think
they excused
it.
Man,
yeah.
It's a reason. That's the reason why Louisville's 4-7. Holy bleep. Who knew that Jack was such an incredibly... well, I don't even say that's not very nice.
No. All right.
That's not very nice.
I saw it.
Jack's my buddy.
I love Jack.
Slam, you know.
I take a bullet for Jack.
What's
if it's a 22.
Jack's grave case is 5 hamburgers.
Now, do you think I could put away a crave case?
I don't know.
How
man.
Much is in it?
30.
It's 30.
No.
You're not putting away a crave case.
I think I could put away half. I think.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's probably
yeah.
right.
Yeah. What now? Are you gonna? Would you? Give yourself a time limit or within like
Yeah, if you said like sitting, you know, you say if you give me like 10 minutes to eat 15 little cheeseburgers, I can knock that out.
Yeah,
yeah. Those there's not much to them.
Yeah, just one.
I feel like, you know, before the football season gets off and running, that the station should have some sort of competitive eating contest. Maybe not hot dogs, maybe sliders. Well, I don't know. I think it would be fun.
Wings. Sponsored by our friends, you know.
I tell you what, if there's a wing eating contest, holler at your boy.
Right.
Let's see.
We used to go get all-you-can-eat steak on Sundays at an unnamed establishment, and I'm sure you could guess it was really high-quality steak. So it was like $14.99.
Well, it's USDA approved, which just means it's legal.
It's legal.
That's not something to brag about.
It was legal steak. And once one of those hungover Sundays, I put away 64 ounces of steak.
Ooh.
That was my record. My buddy put away 96 ounces of steak that day, but he had a reversal of fortune outside the restaurant in front of a bunch of families that were leaving church and coming for like half their church meal.
Maybe we should meet here.
If you pay to go to the circus, then you know what? You're going to see some pretty ridiculous stuff. I'm just saying.
I don't think they were paying to come to the circus.
You kidding me?
They were just trying to...
That place you're referring to is basically the circus. I've seen it.
Do you know what I'm talking about?
There is more Crocs and George per capita than I don't even know what.
We might be thinking of two different places.
We might be.
Yeah. I just don't want to throw anybody under the bus on air right now.
There you go. That's nice. Puts my jaw out of place. Mark yourself process.
Oh, I marked it. I said it on purpose. I know what I did.
Texter also says Jackie Boy tanked it for the show. Well, he's going to be that. You talking about content for tomorrow's program?
Is it worth that much? No, I'm way too competitive for that.
I mean, I had no idea it was only four.
Four hot dogs.
I eat four cheese conies at Skyline when I go.
There you go.
And I mean, now
I go three because I can't afford it.
Appreciate the honesty. Okay, I'll buy you a next one if we go when we go together.
Struggle is real.
Now I can't admire this one. Very clever text. Jack embodied Indiana basketball in his performance. Fair to live up to expectations. There you go. Texter says that the UPS jobs text line 437-9680. Jack crushed an entire large beer nose pizza on air.
I know he did, which was part of the reason why this is so disappointing.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah, he's done it in the past. I just think when he got it to the big leagues, it was a choke job.
By the way, where is Strebel this week? Is he still on vacation?
Minnesota.
I don't know. Folding, you know, his mother-in-law's bloomers or something and packing for her. I have no idea.
Bloomers.
He definitely calls her he calls her ma'am.
I mean, how old are you?
Nobody said the word bloomers on the radio since 1947.
Well, there you go. I've done it.
He's just...
Bloomers.
Process, what are you doing over there? He just...
Such an old soul. He's going to crush 15 whiteys and then, like, look at bloomers.
Do you sit, like, he doesn't even have a TV at home. He just sits in the living room with the radio on, rocking in his rocking chair.
Knitting
there.
A scarf.
Orson Welles plays War of the Worlds, and I think New Jersey's being taken over by aliens.
Right. By the way, Process refuses to admit that he had a date last night.
I didn't have a date last night. I was hanging out with my friends.
Whatever. I thought you had a better excuse for not being at the softball game when we needed a 10th to step in for Nikki, who unforgivably left
early. I'm not in the group chat. I thought you guys were good with numbers, so I was like,
I thought you were in the group chat.
No.
So I kept, like, I asked about you five times, and nobody responded. Like, just like we're ignoring my mentions of Process. I thought he was in the group chat.
The group me thing, are all of the apostrophes question marks on your phone?
I have to check. I don't know. I just assume nobody knows how to punctuate.
Well, group me is trash.
It's not great.
It's not good. It used to be like the go-to back when I was like a freshman, but
the gas bags have been covered enough today already. That's the only mention I'll make of it. The fact that Process was nowhere to be found, and Nikki left early to go be the most disappointing, second most disappointing participant in the hot dog eating contest.
Well, Nick apparently had 2-1 odds, and Jack had 4-1 odds, which were the two best odds they had.
See?
Who set these odds?
Apparently the social media intern of the Louisville Bats.
Hmm.
But, you know, listen, I think that they were right in that line making and the odds making. They just blew it.
And then some guy named, like, Ken Bone, like the guy from the – you remember that?
Yeah.
From the He was in the town hall meeting. You know what I'm saying? The town hall presidential debate.
Yes, had like the red sweater.
Yeah, he apparently won. So congratulations to him, I guess, for reemerging.
I know, right? I mean, he handled biz.
Reemerging the public eye.
Samson texts in, I love our O-line will be a strong suit. That mixed in with a three-year starter Malik, with all that experience, plus pretty decent receivers and a running back core, could be a recipe for great things this year, fellas.
Yeah, look, the potential's there. I think that most people's reticence come from what, frankly, just a 4-7 year last year.
Yeah.
What they saw, they thought they saw regression from Malik. Obviously, a ton of turnovers, and that was most of the regression they saw with Malik. An inconsistent offense. You know, the numbers don't always bear out how the offense actually looked on the field, which was inconsistent at times, stalled for whole games, really weird and inconsistent play calling, situationally pretty poor. And that was with Des Fitzpatrick and Tutu Atwell. So I understand people saying back the bus up a little bit, pump the brakes. I want to see it before I commit to we're going to be this much better than last year.
Yeah, makes sense.
I get it. I get it.
Texter says, hey, Ethan, this is Cody. Is the homie Biscuit aware of Rock and Roll McDonald's, the song?
Yes, okay. I was aware of that before it became your all's theme song. I remember when it was a viral video. And when you all brought it up again on LSL, it warmed my heart. You don't understand? Like, I've been meaning to talk this up with you before. Rock and Roll McDonald's is legendary.
It's
amazing.
I can't believe nobody has done a remake of that, put it on YouTube, and become YouTube famous.
Right. I mean, well... didn't it come around like Funny or Die, like right around then?
I think
so. I don't know if it was on Funny or Die, but it was around that era, like back in like the late 20-aughts, you know, maybe 2010, somewhere around there, a little before that, when it was like Funny or Die in E-Bomb's world, back when, you know, you had to go find your internet comedy.
Indeed. let's see. The old 96er, did he get a T-shirt?
He actually got a gift certificate from the manager of said establishment because he unofficially hit 96 ounces.
he didn't puke on the new T-shirt, did he?
No, he didn't get a T-shirt. He got the gift certificate.
Okay.
I wish he got a T-shirt. He just went out. He made sure to go outside next to a playground.
Right.
Right in front of the establishment, next to a playground, and everybody in their Sunday best filing into said restaurant to get their, you know, Sunday family meal on and threw up what looked like Alpo in front of...
Oh, speaking of, Texter chimes in, 437-9680.
Terrible. Shout out to Adam Favre. Love you, buddy.
Well, here's something that rivals Adam. My buddy barfed in the Olive Garden parking lot the day after Derby a few years back. Church families were walking in and kids were screaming.
Olive Garden's not classy. I don't. It's fine. It's okay.
Oh, goodness.
Why would you go to the Olive Garden after... I don't get it. I don't get it.
See, not everybody's... Olive Garden's fine.
It's fine, but I'm not going to sit here and be like, oh, it's a post-church meal.
Dude, sometimes Cracker Barrel's a post-church meal. It doesn't have to be fancy. It's just somewhere where everybody can go together.
I don't know. If I'm wearing a suit or my Sunday best, you know, I just come back from Mass and praying and my soul feels clean. I want to go somewhere, you know,
so you're going Ruth's Chris? Where are we going then, boss
baller? Like, what are you doing? You going to
Skyline Chili getting three conies?
Right. Like a post-church meal can be anywhere. Except for Chick-fil-A because it's closed on Sunday.
Yeah, it's closed on Sunday. Jesus.
There you go. All right, let's close up shop for hour number one. Two more hours of these shenanigans coming straight to you.
Evil shenanigans.
And we will get into the biggest story right now in college athletics, Texas, Oklahoma. We've got a bunch of takes on this. How will it impact the local conferences of the ACC and the SEC? We'll get into all of that and more. And literally, each hour there's a new update. We'll get you all filled in with that. Plus more of your texts as they are rolling in. You're listening to The Take right here on ESPN 680 and 105.7. We'll be right back.